Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 69 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. My name is Brian Sippets, thank you for joining me today. Today we're going to continue with our interviews of the presenters for the 2018 Training for Hockey Clinic out in Colorado Springs on June 8th and 9th. Today we're going to be talking to Anthony Donskoff about micro-planning, the off-season, and basically we're going to be talking a little bit about how he trains his advanced athletes, and also we're going to be talking about his hands-on presentation out in Colorado Springs, which is isometrics and how to use isometrics at various points throughout the season. So I apologize for the difference in audio quality here. I'm working from the mobile office, which is my car, so hopefully we don't get birds chirping and planes flying over and that kind of stuff, but hopefully you enjoy the content of the interview. I know I always enjoy a chat with Coach Donskoff. He's an incredible presenter, and you know, coming to see Donnie alone would be well worth the trip out to Colorado Springs. So if you can join us, we'd love to see you on the 8th, on June 8th. It's coming up pretty soon here. Head to the NSC's website and check out the Training for Hockey Clinic to grab your spot for that. Before we get started with Coach Donskoff, if you haven't been to Hockey Strength and Conditioning for a while, head there, check it out. Of course, we've got about five or six of the presenters' podcast episodes up most recently. We've also got an incoming freshman program by Devin McConnell and some great forum topics up there as well. So if you haven't been there in a couple weeks, check it out. Lots of new stuff to see. If you're not a member, you can join us for just a buck for the first 7 days. And we know you're going to love the content, so after that, you can continue with us for just $14.95 a month, or you can join us for the year at just $149. That will get you 2 months free, so we'd love to have you as part of the community. Let's go ahead and start our conversation with the head coach at Donskoff Strength and Conditioning, Anthony Donskoff. All right, hey everybody, welcome back, and today we're going to continue talking to the presenters for the 2018 Training for Hockey Clinic in Colorado Springs. That's at the NSCA. It's an amazing event that we've put together. If you're in the hockey world, you should definitely be there. So we're going to be talking to, today we're talking to Anthony Donskoff, who will be presenting. He actually has two presentations at the clinic. And so Anthony's joining us from Donskoff Strength and Conditioning. That's his place in Columbus, Ohio. Well, Anthony, you're going to have to tell me the actual town, but it's basically Columbus. But Anthony, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, it's a privilege. Thanks for having me, Bri.
You bet. And what town are you in there?
Yeah, so we're in the city of Worthington, okay, which is literally about 15 miles from Columbus downtown. So we're about 15 miles from Nationwide Arena.
Gotcha. Okay. So I apologize. I did not know the town, but it's there, just like Ann Arbor is sort of Detroit-ish. But you're closer than that. So anyway, we've been on together here. We've chatted on the podcast before. You know, last time I think we talked about heart rate variability and how you're using that. And that was episode, geez, 7. So it's been a while. I think there's one in between there. But today we're going to talk about what you're going to be presenting at the clinic in Colorado Springs. And you've actually got two. There's a hands-on, where you're talking about isometric training, and then your presentation is going to be micro planning in the off season. So let's start with the micro planning.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about what that means and sort of what the goal of the presentation is.
Yeah, well, the goal really of the presentation is twofold. Is to take the listener down kind of a path of evolution of our programs and how we program basically our advanced athletes. And when I mean advanced, I don't mean chronological age athletes. I mean athletes that have been with us 5, 6, 7 years in the weight room, and how we go about setting a plan in place for those athletes, and how we use the weekly structure to basically dictate the entire summer for our athletes. So it's basically the evolution of that program. Look, I think I run a small business like yourself. 90% of the athletes that walk through our doors probably need three things: linear periodization, progressive overload, and technical proficiency. But there comes a point where athletes stop making gains, or they need a differences in an approach. So the goal with this this lecture is to talk through that evolution of our program and explain to the listener how we train advanced populations, and specifically, obviously, hockey players.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think whether you're, especially in the private sector, whether you own your own place or you've coached at a place for a while, there's always that kid who's back every summer, or there's always that kid who's in every one of your seasons of your youth program, or, you know, as they age, just before they age out, if they've been with you for 4 or 5, 6 years. And I think there's definitely aspects of not boredom, because they're still there with you, but they need something different, you know, and there's definitely benefit to the fundamentals and the basics. But like you said, something different, you know, might be needed just to give them that stimulation. What are a couple examples? Obviously you don't have to go into all of them, but what are a couple examples of how you might vary a workout for an athlete along these lines?
Yeah. You know, two might be surprising to you, Brian. One would be frequency. We're dealing with in our advanced populations are NCAA hockey players and professional hockey players. The reality is, for them to keep getting better at their unique skill set, which is hockey, they have to keep playing hockey. Now, I'm not championing the idea of staying on the ice all summer and conditioning. What I am saying is that they, in order to get better at their sport, need to keep refining the requisite skills that got them the dance in the first place. So our professional athletes and our college players, they're on the ice during the summer working on their skills, harnessing their skills, whether it's with a power skating instructor or whether it's focusing on drills, specific shooting, stick handling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we as strength coaches need to understand that stress, and that's going to affect the frequency that we see our players. One of the quotes that changed my outlook on training our advanced populations, and I don't want to give too much away in my presentation, came from Buddy Morris. I'll never forget it because I was driving the car. I almost stopped my car when he said it. He was being interviewed with Robbie Bork, and I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, training a beginner athlete and an advanced athlete are very similar. They both need general programs, but for very different reasons. The beginner athlete, they can't handle much intensity. They're not exposed to movement, etc. They need a basic general program. Well, the advanced athlete, in order for them to get better at their sport, they better keep playing their sport, right? If you've got a skill built up like playing the guitar, you're not going to say, hey, Tommy, don't play the guitar for 2 months, right? It's a skill. So in order for elite athletes to get better, they need to continue to refine what got them there, which is their skills on the ice. Something has to give. So for us, we see our pro guys 3 times in the weight room in the summer, as opposed to 4, which we might see a youth athlete. Mm. Now, we still get 5 exposures with them because we may see them for a regeneration 2 days a week, whether that's tempo running or massage or aerobic circuits, etc. But that's one. The other for our advanced populations, Bri, is recovery. Look, they have higher power outputs. So imagine a Ferrari crashing into a telephone pole. That's a dramatic example, right? But chances are, if that impact, you're going to need a lot of time to recover from. That's more power in the engine, as opposed to a golf cart crashing into a tree. Chances are you walk away unscathed. That's a young athlete. They don't have the engine an older athlete needs. So we need to program and focus more on the regeneration aspect as well. That doesn't mean coffee and crumpets and playing golf. That means focusing on aerobic capacity. That means focusing on tissue tolerance and tissue capacity, whether it's manual therapy, et cetera. So those are two big areas that may be different than how we train our beginning population.
Gotcha. And is this pretty individualized for you? Obviously, you've got guys at different stages of their careers, different training ages. This is something that you take on a case-by-case basis?
It is, Brian. That's a great question. It is. We certainly have a process in place where we speak to each individual athlete. And we want to know what's worked with them in the past, where they've trained. If an athlete is here for the first time, hey, what's worked for you in the past? We want our athletes, especially as they advance, to know that they have a big say in the training process as well. So it's a cooperative approach, not a top-down approach when we plan. We also obviously want to know their orthopedic limitations, et cetera, so we can design a program for them. But the actual micro and how we plan stays consistent throughout the entire course of the summer. There may be some modifications here and there. Obviously, certain exercises will progress and regress. Rep schemes will change periodically. But the goal of the day will remain consistent.
Mm. Nice. Okay, so we won't dig any more there. I want to save some secrets here. But Let's talk about your hands-on also. So you're going to be talking about isometric training. I think it's something that's wildly underused, and I would say mostly, you know, if you have a team of players and let's say the coach is up watching, I think it could be kind of hard to justify holding still to somebody who doesn't know what they're watching or what they're looking at. So talk a little bit about, you know, what you're going to cover in the hands-on and why isometric training is important for you.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's funny. You and I think similarly in this. I mean, it was very underused for myself and our facility as well until about a year and a half ago. And it occurred during a conversation with a friend of mine who was one of the smarter hockey professionals I know, Nelson Iote, here with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And we were talking about programming, et cetera. And he mentioned in that in our discourse how he likes to use isometric training. And it's like, ah, man, it stuck in my head. So I went back and did my due diligence in my research. And I thought, man, we are really not using this particular contraction profile to its capacity. So we started implementing it immediately. We use it for all athletes of all levels, whether you're a beginner coming in for the first time to our program, whether you're an advanced athlete. Now, obviously, the methods will change. What I'd like to present in the hands-on is literally what I call our isometric pyramid. So, you know, if you're using isometrics for an athlete that just walked in the gym, we call that the grease, right? So for us, we're going to hold patterns. And well, for example, if an athlete comes in and we're going to go to a reverse split squat and they've never been exposed to that movement, right? We might get a group of athletes, young athletes, we start them from the bottom up. So we'll all get them starting on a split squat from the bottom. We'll have them hover. You know, I always say use a phone book as an example, but young athletes don't even know what a phone book is anymore because of all the technology. So I might say, guys,
three, four cell phones,
three, four cell phones, guys. And we'll hold that position. We'll hold it for time. We'll hold that position anywhere from 30 to 75 seconds. And from there, after they grease that pattern, we might have them walk over and grab a weight and do it dynamically. It gives us as a strength and conditioning coach fantastic feedback because they're not moving. You know, we can poke around, see if certain muscles are quote unquote activated or not. It gives them a chance to feel that range or feel that pattern unencumbered by dynamic movement. And then they'll perform the movement. That's called a pre-fatigue isometric or pre-fatigue dynamic isometric. You can do that loaded with advanced athletes, or you can do that unloaded with the beginner. Taking the other end of the continuum, we might use overcoming isometrics for a post-activation potentiation effect with our advanced athletes. I'll discuss, you know, really how we use those. Essentially, overcoming isometrics, you are pushing or pulling against an immovable force, so you're trying to generate a concentric contraction. And in doing so, you're activating, you're waking up high threshold motor units, and you can choose to do one of two things after that. You can choose something like a max effort or more of a dynamic effort method to get a little bit more of a potentiating effect. So they can be used at all levels and all ages, and the purpose of my presentation is just to show how we use it. Isometrics have been around for a long time, certainly not inventing the wheel, but the goal is to share with the participants how we use it, why we use it, and then hopefully give them some tools that they can potentially add to their programs.
Yeah, and I think we get stuck a lot of times on, you know, what's the physiological effect of this? What, you know, how is this going to make our athletes stronger? But I think you touched on something really important. It gives you time to coach. It gives you time to make corrections. If you have a team of athletes like you often do in your place or a large group, you know, you have, like you said, you have time to go around and push or pull hips around and you know, maybe slap a lat muscle, see if it's turned on, see if it's working for them. Stuff like that. It gives you time to do that. I think that's overlooked too.
Absolutely. For us and our beginners, it has been crucial. I'll talk and speak a little bit more in context at the presentation, but we use it to teach the hinge now. I mean, we used to teach the hinge with PVC pipe. We used to teach it with, you know, the rope around the hips analogy. And we found by using just an ISO for time, a static ISO for time with our youth athletes, and then having them walk over to perform that dynamic movement, we can clean it up much quicker, much more efficiently. And also, too, I think, and I don't want to give too much away in my presentation, but I think it's a fantastic means during the season. Like, think about this for a second. We can activate and recruit high threshold motor units with literally minimal to zero tissue breakdown. I mean, to me, that's fantastic in season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, my gosh, the last thing you want as a strength coach is delayed onset muscle soreness the day before or the day after a game. Mm-hmm. Now, we know, too, from research that you talk about, well, you know, the ISO is only good in the joint specific to where you're training it. But if your lower body ISOs are potentially or for the majority done in a quote-unquote hockey position, to me, that's a great bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. So just going to explain from the grease to all the way to the go, and that'll make more sense to the participants there. We break our program down for our advanced athletes to our three major touch points for the summer, and that is gain, go, and grow. And each of those days has a distinct target application, and each of those days we might use a different method or a different means of isometric training within those days to complement what we're doing in the weight room.
So this is something that obviously I like the buzzwords there. It helps with buy-in, I bet, and understanding from the athletes themselves. I think it probably gives a little bump to your business too, in terms of those are cool things. You know, these are things that are going to apply across the board, right? So, you know, good for athletes, keeps your business thriving, stuff like that. Is this good across all levels?
Yeah, for me, well, again, context dependent. Some of the more advanced ISOs, for me, I wouldn't do with the youth athletes, mm-hmm. just because I don't think they're physiologically ready for that. But I want to. The goal really is to explain in that pyramid that I've designed. Just basically gives the coach, the actual layout of how we use them all the way from beginning athletes to advanced athletes. For me, the go, gain, and grow, that is an easy way for me to filter that information. To be honest with you, when I was first exposed to ISOs, there was different methods, there was different means, and it just was all jumbled around in my head. So it gave me a way to itemize and kind of pick my ISOs based on buckets and then in training age. So hopefully that can also be simplified. So when coaches look at this and say, that's pretty simple, I can design the same thing, or I can take this pyramid back and use it with my guys. Hey, you know, we got a beginner athlete. Here's the ISOs I'm going to use. Here's the exercises, and the sky's the limit. You can choose whatever exercise. I train advanced athletes. My goal today, I'll give you an example. Our go day is a dynamic effort day in the gym. We're moving things fast, right? So what do we want to complement that? Well, hey, we might want to do an overcoming isometric before something like that. Wake up high threshold motor unit. So that's an example of how we might use ISOs on a go day, or in this case, a dynamic effort day, right? We'd use a different form of ISO for something like a gain day, where we're breaking the tissue down. We want to do something totally different. So the goal is to give coaches basically the methods that we use, which, again, we're not reinventing the wheel. I can tell you a lot of great coaches do a lot of these ISOs, but just to give the coach a user-friendly paradigm on how and when to use them.
Well, yeah, user-friendly is the key. If you know all the knowledge, but you can't implement it, it doesn't really matter. So user-friendly is the key. So that'll be awesome. Yep. Okay. Well, we'll wrap up with that. Anything else you're doing right now that people might be interested in?
No, just looking forward to the summer, looking forward to seeing everybody and learning from everybody. This is going to be a fantastic event. I know there's a lot of quality speakers there, fellow colleagues, and I'm really looking forward to this. So thank you very much for your time, and look forward to catching up Colorado Springs.
Yeah. All right. Well, so those of you that we're not going to have this out as a video podcast, but I'm looking over Anthony's shoulder there at the Red Hawks jersey. Proud to see that.
That's right.
Background there. I see just the corner of it. There you go. So, well, hey, Donnie, we appreciate your time, and I can't wait to catch up out in Colorado Springs and get Absolutely. More into this stuff. So,
hey, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate all you do, Brian, and all the content that you distribute. Thanks a lot.
We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, that's going to wrap up episode 69 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks to Coach Donskoff for joining us. Again, he's a dynamic presenter. He's an incredibly intelligent individual. So this is somebody that you're going to want to learn from.
And so we're excited to see him out in Colorado Springs. We've got a couple more episodes with the presenters for the Training for Hockey Clinic. And so we're going to get those out here pretty quickly. So stay tuned and check back within the week here. We'll see another one. And we're getting close to the clinic now. So getting really excited for that. Hopefully we'll see you there. Until next time, guys, be sure to train smart and check out HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, the world's greatest resource for training hockey players. We'll talk to you soon, guys.